Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sambira at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, how female UN peacekeepers can gain valuable intelligence from local women. And a UN study into usage patterns will help to prevent drug abuse amongst women. But first, the vicious cycle where poverty feeds gender inequality within the world's least developed countries, LDCs, can become a virtuous one if everyone embraces sustainable development. That's the view of Lakshmi Puri, Deputy Executive Director of UN Women, speaking just after the latest high-level review of LDCs' progress in Antalya, Turkey. She stressed the importance of integrating gender equality, women's empowerment, and poverty eradication efforts among the group of 48 nations. Rima Baza asked Ms. Puri to outline how effective the review process has been in areas of concern to UN women.
This midterm review comes at a very critical period. This is the first year of the implementation of Agenda 2030 for sustainable development. It is really the biggest opportunity to link together the implementation of the Istanbul Programme of Action for LDC development and, from our perspective, the Gender Equality Compact of Agenda 2030, Financing for Development Outcome, you know, Addis Agenda, and the Climate Change Outcome, as well as the Security Council Resolution 2242 on Women, Peace and Security.
Is or does the gender equality or the lack of affect the economic situation in a country, or is it the other way around?
There is a mutually reinforcing relationship between gender equality, women's empowerment, particularly economic empowerment, and poverty eradication. Conversely, gender inequality, discrimination, and violence against women reinforces poverty and relapse into poverty. You need to make a virtuous cycle rather than have a vicious cycle, which is there in LDCs.
In all of these efforts, what are the main challenges you face on the national levels, the regional, or the international?
Well, at the national level, it is very important to get the political buy-in of all the actors in government. First of all, the leader, the prime minister or the president, and the political party and his cabinet members must prioritize and support and recognize the value of this agenda. Second challenge that we face is investment, chronic underinvestment in gender equality. LDCs generally face an issue of underinvestment because they are under-resourced. But within that, to prioritize this is a big challenge. Then the third big challenge is the challenge of social norms, cultural and traditional practices that are often harmful, anti-gender equality and women's empowerment.
Female peacekeepers deployed by the United Nations are able to gain valuable intelligence after winning the trust of local women in countries like Afghanistan. That's the candid view of Force Commander Major General Kristin Lund of the UN Force in Cyprus, the first woman ever to command a UN peacekeeping operation. Despite the important role they play, she told Monica Villela-Grayley why it was proving difficult for the UN to recruit more women.
That's always a big challenge, and it goes back to a lot of defense forces still don't have open up their military force, like infantry, artillery, and armor, to the females. It's important that nations do that. And I know from my own country, we have had, you know, everything open for many, many years, from 85. But it takes time. I mean, we still are only 10% in my country. But, you know, you have to work, and or every time I meet, you know, officials from the TCCs, the troop contributing countries, I mention that please send more females. And it has been successful because now we are up to 6% in UNFISIP compared to what is the average of 3%. And we know also that 6% will be one of the new goals for UN, having a female represented in the mission.
And why are women so hesitant, do you think?
I don't think it's the women. I think it's more the system in different countries. And very often, and I'm sorry to say that the number of females in the military or any type of uniformed occupations reflect also the society in that country. So I think that I'm very lucky coming from Norway, because we have a lot of rules or laws that kind of gives us that opportunity.
And you mentioned Afghanistan, where you were with your country, but also you went to Bosnia, you went to Lebanon with the United Nations. I wonder if you could tell us some moments where you had serious challenges in this, but also the most rewarding moments.
Well, there are so many. But I must say, the first time I entered, for example, in Kabul, the Women's Park, to be able to talk to women in Afghanistan, I must say that was really rewarding, because that was the first time that we as a soldier had access to that. And then we got so much information. And then we saw that, you know, the females that are raising the kids and in a way make the foundation for the future of a country are very often not taken into account. Now we are becoming much better, but still we have far to go.
And did they open up, of course, because you are women, they feel like they can tell you more?
We know, and we had some good examples during the week that we have been all the force commanders together. Getting to the women, you know, they could tell, you know, last time the soldiers were in their little village, when they attacked, if they raped, all this information that is important for us when we are doing our assessment, when we are into operations.
A study into drug usage patterns will help in the prevention of abuse amongst women, according to a senior United Nations official. The UN International Narcotics Control Board will dedicate its 2016 annual report to the study of drug use and its impact among women, as well as the policy response of governments to the specific situations that women face. The president of the UN International Narcotics Control Board, which monitors international drug control treaties, is Werner Sipp. Daniel Dickinson asked him for more details.
We will be looking at several aspects. First, the differences in using patterns, because this is important to see how we can do prevention of drug abuse by women, which are the specific measures which should be applied, directed, and addressed to women. The same is true for the differences in the impact of drug abuse on the health of women. Probably we need specific treatment tools for women. In any case, in every respect, we must try to find out in to which extent the measures of prevention, treatment, rehabilitation have to be targeted to the specific conditions of women.
How are you going to do the research? Will you be speaking to women across the world, or are you talking to policymakers?
We are a small body of 13 experts. Everyone can contribute something, but we need, of course, the support of some scientific persons. That's what we are seeking. So we will have some drafts coming from the scientific side, and we will work on that, and we will try to draw the conclusions out of what the experts and the scientists have told us.
So how will the research be used?
This is a transversal issue. It's an issue which concerns health. It's an issue which concerns justice, because we know that women are affected by justice measures, including imprisonment, in a totally different way than men.
Will it ultimately benefit women?
Well, we hope so. Every recommendation we do is linked to our wish that it will benefit to those who are concerned. It will help women if the stakeholders to whom we address our recommendations will try to follow these recommendations. If they pay more attention to the specific needs and the specific conditions of women in the context of drug abuse and drug use, the problem of prescription drugs misuse is widely spread among women, much more than among men. This is a matter of prescription policy by medical doctors. So it's a wide array of topics and issues which we try to formulate in our recommendations.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can download more of our programs on iTunes. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. Thanks for listening.